Amen. Well, this morning, if you would, please take your Bibles. If you don't have them, let me tell you something here. Bring your Bible when you come to church. If you have one, bring it. You say, well, wait, Pastor Dave, aren't there a lot of churches where they put the words up on the screen? Yeah, we could do that, but then you wouldn't bring your Bible. So bring your Bible. I want you to bring your Bible. All right? You should bring your Bible when you come to church. I told you the story before about the guy that was, the church was praying, they were in the midst of a drought. Did I tell you about this or not? I tell you this once already, or some of you don't remember. They were in the midst of a drought, this church, and so they decided to gather together at the church and pray. They were going to ask God for rain. Remember this? Yeah, remember this? It's a great story. And so they prayed and prayed and prayed, and finally the pastor gets up and he says, look, he said, go home. He said, just go home. We're not going to keep doing this. And they said, why not? He said, because I walked around and not one of you brought an umbrella. If you don't have any faith that God's going to change things, then why are you praying for them? So you need to have faith in what God's going to do. But that's why we bring our Bibles, so that we can know what it is that's going on. So in Luke, that's where we're going to read this morning. But I want to share with you the heart of what it is I want to talk about this morning. Unforgiveness is one of Satan's greatest weapons that he uses against Christians and against the church today. I'm convinced of that. Unforgiveness. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Dave. You know, we talk about forgiveness. We talk about, okay, we know God forgave us and those types of things. But there are things in my life that you don't know about that are pretty bad. And I have a right to not be forgiving somebody. I have a right to that. Let me share with you something this morning that I'm hoping you're going to leave here understanding. No, you don't. You don't have a right to that. I want to tell you why. And it's important because unforgiveness, and this is an important base of what it is we're looking at this morning, unforgiveness has nothing to do with the person that wronged you. Nothing. Unforgiveness only impacts you. That's the only thing that unforgiveness does, is it makes your life tough. You realize that when you're holding something against somebody, that doesn't affect them at all. What does that do to them? That doesn't bother them, but it does you. And here's what it is I want us to know this morning. Wow, I took a long way around there, didn't I? Here's what I mean. Freedom from the hurt, the woundedness, and the pain of the past can only come when I learn to accept, embrace, and offer forgiveness. That's the only time that you can truly be set free from things of the past, is when you learn to accept, embrace, and offer forgiveness. Now, there are three elements of this that we need to understand: the accept, the embrace, and the offer. The first thing we have is we need to understand that we need to accept God's forgiveness for us. You know, there are a lot of people that are walking around that call themselves Christians that have never really fully accepted the fact that Jesus forgave them. You say, Pastor Dave, you don't know what I did. It doesn't matter what you did. There are no, read through the Bible, there are no caveats. There's no sections of forgiveness and non-forgiveness. There's no sin that's too great that it cannot be forgiven. I know the Bible talks about the unforgivable sin. That's not what we're addressing here. We're addressing the things of our lives that we get involved in. And there may be some of you sitting here this morning to say, look, Dave, I didn't become a Christian until a little bit later in my life. You don't want to know what I was doing before. I don't need to know. When Jesus died, that sin was forgiven. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Dave, I wasn't even a Christian then. I wasn't accepting Jesus' forgiveness for me. It doesn't matter. When he died, his forgiveness covered your sins. The very first thing we have to do is to understand that we accept God's forgiveness into our lives. The second thing we need to do is we need to embrace the forgiveness, which means for many of you, you need to come to the place of forgiving yourself. You gotta forgive yourself. You know, there are a lot of people that walk around just beating themselves up because of things that they've done in the past. You don't need to do that. When God's love and his blood covers you, that forgiveness is offered, and all you have to do is just say thank you. That's all I have to do. But we have it so ingrained into our minds that if we have done this or done that, or we've been involved in this before, maybe you're still involved in it, that somehow that negates what it is that God wants to do for me. That's not true. All God wants you to do is to accept what it is that he's given you into his life. And then the third thing is, once you know that you're forgiven, once you have forgiven yourself, then you put yourself in a place that you can truly offer forgiveness to someone else. You see, it's tough to offer forgiveness. If Luke and I have an issue and Luke hurts my feelings and I'm holding forgiveness or unforgiveness against him, it's hard for me to forgive him if I don't think I'm forgiven myself. That's the first place that we have to come. God isn't interested in you beating yourself up for the things that you've done. You don't need to do that. He said, my blood covers everything that you have done. That when I forgive you, your sins are taken, what? In God's mind, what happens? They're taken as far as the what? East is from the west. Why did he say east from the west and not north from the south? Because the north and south directions have terminal points. When you travel north, you will get to a point that eventually you need to come back to the south, that you're heading south again. When you head south on the globe, there comes a point where eventually you head north again. East and west, it never ends. There is no point where you have to turn back. So God says that when I forgive you as far as the east is from the west, and that point goes on forever. That's God's forgiveness for us. And the last thing that we do with that is that by holding on to the unforgiveness in my own life and not accepting God's, what I'm basically saying to him is, what you did for me really doesn't matter. I don't want to say that to God. I don't feel comfortable telling God that what he did didn't matter. I don't know about you. That's not good for me. But we do that by telling him, you know, okay, yeah, I know you've forgiven me. I know you shed your blood for me, but I don't forgive myself. All God is saying is, I've offered this to you. All I need you to do is accept it. When we don't do that, it becomes very hard for us to offer forgiveness to other people. And yet that's exactly the way that we need to live our lives. Now, unforgiveness affects us in a lot of different ways. There are three parts to us, primarily, as people. There's the mental, there's the physical, and there's the spiritual. Or you can call it body, soul, and mind if you want to. Okay, body, soul, and mind. Those three things are separate from one another, but they're also connected. Does that make sense? So if you're hurting physically in your body, that's going to affect the way that you feel. It's going to maybe even affect your relationship with God if you're just really wiped out. You know, I'm not reading my Bible. I don't want to go to church. All of those things are interconnected with each other. When you have unforgiveness in your life, it impacts every area of who you are. All of you. And I want to have a verse that I want you to put into your mind that I'm going to come back to in a couple of minutes because I want you to understand how serious unforgiveness is, especially for the Christian. This is Matthew 6, 14 to 15. Here's what it says. This is Jesus talking. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now watch. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Folks, Christians need to come to the place of understanding that for us, forgiveness is not an option. It's not an option that you have. You can't walk around with unforgiveness in your life and then ask God to be blessing you and to say, Father, why is it that my life's like this? Do you have unforgiveness in your life? The Word even tells us that we can't even come to the communion table if we have somebody against someone else. The Bible tells us that if we have things against someone, that our prayers are hindered. You want to know why your prayer life isn't more effective? Is there unforgiveness in your life? It'll prevent that from your prayers from being effective. So how does it impact us so negatively? You say, all right, so what do you mean if it impacts me negatively? Well, let's look at a couple of things. Let me give you an illustration of this. Let me move my Bible. Don't want to kick my Bible over. This pulpit represents the time span of my life. That's what this pulpit is. So there's my life. An event occurs in my life that hurt my feelings, that upset me. Maybe it wasn't fair. Doesn't matter how it happened, but it hurt me. When that place is in my life and I have unforgiveness, what that means is that now I am attached to that point in my life. I'm basically stuck there because unforgiveness never lets you leave that point in your life when you got hurt. You know, there are a lot of people walking around that are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old that are walking around with hurts in their lives that took place when they were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It doesn't matter how old you are. At whatever point in your life that this event took place, if I am not willing to forgive, I am stuck to that place. And as long as I hold that, I am never going to get any further in my life than I can from that spot. And you see, God's called us, and you've heard me say this so many times, God has a plan for each and every one of you here. Each and every one of you, God wants to use you to his glory. It might be in a great way, but you're never going to see that as long as you're stuck in that place. It's only when I offer forgiveness to whatever that is that I'm able to let go. And now I can go wherever it is that God calls me, freed from that event. And how do I know if I'm stuck there? Well, ask yourself something. Right now, I believe that God has been bringing some things into your mind. How do I know that? Because I asked him to. I said, before you came this morning, God, I want you to begin to reveal to some people if they have a person or an event in their mind that there's still unforgiveness attached to. And if your first reaction when I talked about unforgiveness was this person popping back up in your head, you need to examine that. You need to examine it. It doesn't mean that you ever forget that completely. I'll talk about that in a second. But what it means is, what was the reaction that you had? That's how you know if there's unforgiveness still left in your life. Now, so we need to get away from this place. That was a clean handkerchief, by the way. All right, this is clean, so I'll just throw that right in there. The greatest difficulty many times with unforgiveness is that it takes place in two places that we would have thought we would have been the safest. Some of the deepest woundings that we receive growing up happen in two places that you would think, if there's anywhere that I can go and be safe, it would be here. One of those is in our homes, and the other place is in our churches. Those are the two places where people get some of the deepest wounds that they ever have to deal with. My father walked out on us when I was a kid. My mother took off, left me and Dad. My husband left me. My wife left me. My kids don't ever call me anymore. These are the types of things that get seated deeply into our hearts. And you say, wait a minute, Pastor Dave, you mean those things aren't supposed to hurt? No, I'm not saying that. Sure they do. It's hard to deal with those things. And yet, if we allow Satan to come and to bring unforgiveness into our lives about that and we never release it, I get stuck right to that place. And I never get free. My friends, God wants you to be free of this. He wants you to be free so that you can grow in the things that he's called you to, so that you can grow as a Christian, so that you can grow as a person. The other thing that happens when you don't forgive is that you get a movie theater that sets up in your mind. You get a movie theater. Because if you have unforgiveness, every time that you think of that person, every time you hear their name, every time you go to some place, every time there's a smell or a song or something that pops that memory back up, your movie screen pops on, and that thing just plays over and over again. And you know what that does? I taught several years ago a series on the eagle. Were you there for that? Did you hear me preach on the eagle, Roberta? Were you there for that? What a magnificent creation that God, the eagle, not Philadelphia eagle, although there's no harm in that. But the eagle, this magnificent bird, and all of the things it does, and you know, the majesty of the eagle, which is part of the United States symbol, the seal is the eagle. The Romans used the eagle as a part of that, and there are all kinds, but you see them around. But here's the thing. When an eagle attacks its prey, you know, many times you see birds that will dive down at whatever it is they're going to take, and they lead with their beak so that they can grab it and take off. The eagle doesn't do that. The eagle comes in feet first, because on the end of his two legs, he has four talons that are there, three that face forward and one that faces back. Now, these things are inches long. I mean, they're huge, razor sharp. But the thing is when these talons extend and they drive in to whatever it is that he's grabbing, once the eagle has it, it's virtually impossible for that animal or that fish, whatever it is he's grabbed, to shake free, because the talon itself, when it goes back into the toe, the back of the talon has ridges that are on it, and it sits on a pad inside the toe that has ridges that face the other direction. So in essence, what happens is as soon as that bird comes down and it clenches, that talon locks in place. Can't get out until the bird releases it and lets it go. That's exactly what unforgiveness does. When you don't release that, every time that that movie theater comes up in your mind, that talent is being driven deeper and deeper into your spirit. We never can shake it, not of your own. And so we wonder why. Every time I drive by this place, that same feeling kind of starts twisting in my gut. Every time I see that guy or that girl, every time I hear their name, it just keeps churning on me. That's why it's driven itself deeper and deeper into your heart. God doesn't want you to live with that. That's not what he wants us to do. As a matter of fact, Jesus talks through the book of Matthew several times about being freed from those things and offering forgiveness. The other thing that happens with this is that when you come to the place of not offering unforgiveness in your life, other things begin to seed themselves in. Things like depression, anger, bitterness, rage. Those things get seeded in with that because the body begins to react even physically to that. Now, I'm going to give you a little physics lessons here. Not physics. I'm going to give you a, what am I going to give you? Lesson about your body. All right, a little human anatomy and physiology. I was a gym teacher for 8 years. Me and the little Rugrats. It was great. They loved me. Mr. D's gym class. They had a great time with that. But I used to teach them things about it. We didn't just come in and kick the ball around and I'd boot them a little bit. You know, it's physical. You can do that when you're the gym teacher. But what happens is this. When you get excited about something, when something occurs, there's what's called the fight or flight response. Have you heard about that? You know what that is. So you have a couple of options when something's going on. Either you can stand and fight or you can take off, whatever one you want to do. But what's happening in your body is on top of your kidneys are two lumps that sit there called your adrenals. Ad meaning on top, renal meaning of the kidney. That's why it's called adrenals, because they sit on top of the kidney. And those adrenal glands secrete adrenaline into your system. Now that has a very powerful impact on your body, because it changes you physiologically to get ready to deal with whatever it is that's coming. It quickens your heart rate. It increases your blood pressure. It loosens and gets your muscles ready to react. It increases your respiratory system. You're breathing heavier, so you're ready to go. Now, you've all experienced this, and experience it all the time probably. You just aren't even aware of it. You ever had butterflies? You're kind of, you know, a little nervous about something you have to do. Butterflies is adrenaline in your system. Some people say, no, I have pterodactyls flying through my stomach when I'm getting ready to do something. That's why we appreciate you folks to come up and sing. You do a great job, and not everybody can do that. Did you know what a pterodactyl was? It starts with a P. It's very strange. That's the prehistoric thing. Yeah, never mind. I'm going to make you look that up, but you'll never know how to spell it. So, but our bodies get reacting. The problem is that when you are in a state of anxiety constantly with whatever it is that you're dealing with, there's a constant amount of adrenaline that's going into your system. And eventually, your body begins to react to that. You know, there are studies that have been done that show that people that deal with anger, with unforgiveness, with bitterness, have a significantly higher degree of difficulty in their physical bodies than those that don't. Doctors that have proven that when you come to the place of being able to release whatever that is, that your body changes. Diseases that are able to infiltrate into your system because your immune is being broken down because you've got that constant anxiety going on in your body. Remember I said, all of those things are connected. Our body's connected with our mind. Our body's connected with our soul. So we need to be aware of that. The mind then is also affected in the same way. When you're in that constant state of agitation, when things are going on, it lowers your cognitive brain function. Your memory is affected. Things that you would just naturally be able to do, they're impacted in a negative way, all because I'm harboring that unforgiveness, that bitterness in my life. And then finally, the spirit is affected, but in a much deeper way, because when we are not forgiving someone, we are walking in direct disobedience to what the Word says. That's disobedience. You say, Dave, man, I come here and I love everybody and everybody's so nice to me, but I leave and I have all the same things I'm dealing with. And is unforgiveness a part of that? And you're the only one that can answer that. I can't tell you that. Now, you may have found a way to really mask that really well. Are we good at masking things? Of course we are. And we even take and we use different words. If I have unforgiveness for Luke, I can call it something else. I can go, well, you know, I struggle a little bit with him. You know, you know, we don't mix well. He challenges me. Things like that. You ever use words like that to describe somebody? And what you may actually be doing is you've got a real issue with this person that you need to resolve in your life. But let me tell you, somebody that doesn't want you to do that, Satan wants nothing more than to keep you right in that place where you are right now. And he'll even lie to you about it in order to make sure that you do. And when he lies to you, he's pouring more things on you. Listen to these. First thing he'll tell you is, he'll say, you know, you shouldn't be making such a big deal about this. Get over it. Ever had anybody tell you to get over it? That is the worst thing that you can be told. The worst thing. Because basically when I tell somebody to get over something, what I'm telling them is, look, what are you making such a big deal? This is not significant. What you're dealing with is not true. Because it's a big deal to Dave. Get over it. And what that simply does is just pour shame all over him when we tell people that. Can I encourage you that if you're dealing with somebody that's got an issue in their life, whatever it is, be gentle with them. You say, Dave, he's had this same issue for 25 years. Well, that may be. But it isn't going to end any quicker because you tell him, get over it. Satan wants him to stay right there. And he's going to pour shame on him to do that. Second lie you get told is, you're the only one struggling with this. You're the only one. Everybody else just forgives and forgets. Do you know you cannot forgive and forget? It's not possible. You can forgive somebody, but it's still there. That's where the movie theater is. And that's why it's so important to truly release those things back to God, because otherwise that loop's just going to continue to play over and over. And if somebody tells you, look, everybody else is dealing with this, what you're being told or made to feel is that I'm weak. I'm weak. I can't get over this. Third thing Satan says, that if you forgive, you may be vulnerable and get hurt again. Well, let me tell you something. That part is actually true. You might get hurt again. You might be vulnerable again. But if Satan has his way, what he's going to get you to do is to isolate yourself away from people. You ever had your feelings hurt and you just back away from everybody? There are people that deal with it like that. They go, okay, that's it. My feelings are hurt. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to sulk or pout a little bit. I pout. Do I pout? A little bit. Thank you. I love you, honey. Thank you. I pout once in a while. I guess we all, men, we pout, men. Come on. We don't get our way, those kinds of things. Rusty never does. Is that what you just said? No, he never does. Rusty, I got your back. I'm your wingman on this. But Satan just wants us to isolate ourselves from one another, and especially Christians, because if we isolate from one another, we are removing ourselves from a fellowship that can help us to get beyond those things. Satan doesn't want that to happen. The last thing then is Satan will also tell you is, you deserve your revenge. You deserve it. Look what they did to you. Look what he said. They fired you from that job and they had no right. This guy got in my face. Things he said to me, you deserve your revenge. That's disobedience to the word. We do not have the right to revenge, my friends, because once again, the revenge doesn't ever happen. If I've got something against Dave, I'm thinking I'm making it tough on him. The only one I'm hurting is myself. I'm the only one that's getting hurt. Unforgiveness, watch this. Unforgiveness is more than just that aspect of what I shared with you. Unforgiveness also acts as a holding place for anger, for fear, for immaturity. Immaturity. You say, wait a minute, you calling me immature? No, I'm not saying that. But how do people act when they don't get what they want when they want it? Is it just the kids that are going, hey, that belongs to me, come on? No, adults do the same thing. Dave hurts my feelings? Fine. I'm not going to talk to him. I don't need him. I'll just go over here. I don't need him at all. It's a mature way to handle this, don't you think? Shut up. I don't care. No, I know we don't do that. But have you ever wondered why people behave the way that they do? Have you wondered why you behave the way that you do sometimes? And you get done and you just go, what am I doing? Why am I acting this way? This isn't me. Is there unforgiveness that needs to be dealt with? A couple more and I'm going to start to wrap this up. One other example, and I love this one. Because if you can get this into your head, I think it just shows so perfectly. So Dave and I have this issue with each other. You know, I've decided I'm going to get even with this guy. I've got a little vial of poison here. Poison. Dave, poison. Got this issue. But what unforgiveness does it's not going to affect him at all. What I actually do when I hold unforgiveness is I take the poison and I drink it. It's in my system. I'm not affecting him. What am I doing to him? Does he really care that I'm upset with him? He may not. Chances are the people that you have things against are maybe even people you don't even have in your life anymore. What do they care how you feel? But you are tearing yourself up when you hold on to unforgiveness. You're pouring that poison into your life every single time. A couple more things. Why is forgiveness so difficult? Why is this so hard? Wouldn't you think that if you heard these things, you would go, okay, we're going to take care of this. Is it that easy? No, it's not. Here's the reason why. Because our concept of what forgiveness is completely contrary to what God's concept is. Completely different. In our culture today, forgiveness basically means, what is it that I get from him because he hurt me that makes us square, that evens things out? That's really the foundation of the world's thinking of forgiveness. Our whole legal system is built on this. Because when you go to court with somebody, what is it that you're trying to determine? Okay, he hurt me, so what do I get out of this? And you're supposed to get equal measure for what it is. If he hurts me a little, I get something a little. If he hurts me big, I get something big. So our whole thinking is, as long as we get squared, as long as things work out evenly, then we're okay. That has nothing to do with forgiveness. Nothing to do with forgiveness. It's not about getting even. It's about releasing the hurt that has come into my life so that I'm not carrying that around and it's not eating on me. But God's nature is completely outside of that. What God's nature is, as we read in Luke 7. Did we read Luke 7 yet? Oh, let's do that. While I'm here, I'll read from the Bible. Let me read from Luke 7. I want you to hear this story. I was so excited about what I had to say, I forgot to tell you about. Starting the 36th verse, let me just read this quickly. It's a story that many of you probably are going to be familiar with. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. This is Luke 7, verse 36. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, this is Simon now, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. So obviously this was somebody that came to the Pharisee's house. She had probably been hanging around outside. Because when they came to the houses then, you have a lot of people were following Jesus all over. And so the Pharisees came, and any time the Pharisees were with Jesus, what was the main thing they were looking to do? Try to trap him. Try to trip him up. Okay, tough guy, let's answer this one. What do you got? And so Simon's thinking to himself, you know, if this guy really were a prophet, he'd know that this was an unclean woman. A lot of scholars believe that she was probably either a prostitute or something along that line. She was a woman of ill repute of the community. And so then Jesus, verse 40, answers him, says, Simon, I have something to tell you. Pharisee says, tell me, teacher. You can just kind of see, Jesus wants to talk to me. Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii. A denarii was about a day's wages. You worked all day, you get one denarii. And the other 50, so they had 550. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The very nature of God is forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been or what's taken place. The very nature of God is to bring forgiveness. And then in John 8, and we won't take time to read through this, but there was the story of Jesus who's standing and a bunch of men bring up a woman that says, Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery. Remember the story? And Jesus starts and he bends down in the ground. And when he bends down, the Bible says he began to write in the dirt. Now, you have to understand, posture is important in the Bible. Whenever you stood with a group, to stand means that you were in agreement with them. When you stood, that's why we say, come stand with me. It means you're in agreement. If someone were to kneel down, that was to demonstrate there was no agreement. So Jesus knelt down, and he begins to write in the dirt. And then he gets up, and he begins to talk to them, and he kneels down again. And do you remember what he says to them? You who have not sinned, you cast the first stone. Then he gets down, and he starts to write again. And the Bible says, one by one, the men, beginning with the oldest, began to walk away until there was nobody left. The Bible doesn't tell us what Jesus wrote in the sand, but you know what I think he was writing? The names of all the men that had been with this woman. And I got to believe many of the men standing there were seeing their own names being written in the dirt. That's why they were disappearing. You see, Jesus knows the heart. He knows the heart of what it is that we're dealing with. So the very nature of who he is about forgiveness. We need to understand that God's definition and God's capacity of forgiveness is not the same as ours. That's why you can't do this on your own. That's why many of you have been struggling with unforgiveness for a long time, because you've never allowed God to be the one to come and to make the difference in your life. Dave and Faith were sharing with me before service started this morning. They had heard a man talking about unforgiveness recently. And the premise of what he talked about was that every time you forgive somebody, you reset the bar for them. In other words, it's like it never happened. And that's the way that God forgave us. That when Jesus died on the cross, he reset the bar. And that's why our sins are no more. It's when we come into the situation and we say, well, wait a minute, look what he did. And I hold on to this. Jesus says, no, the bar's been reset. That's the way we need to be treating each other in the church. We need to reset the bar for one another. It's a difficult thing to do. And yet when God comes and we allow him to make the difference in our lives, and we're able to do that. Forgiving someone, listen to this now, because I think this is one of the reasons why people aren't willing to do this, and then I'm going to wrap. Forgiving someone does not let them off the hook. Forgiving someone is not saying, I don't care that you did that to me. Forgiveness has nothing to do with consequences. If your unforgiveness has nothing to do with the person that hurt you, neither do the consequences. They're going to have to deal with the things they have to deal with. Unforgiveness is about you and about you alone. That's what's most important. You're not letting anybody off the hook. God's going to deal with people the way that they need to be dealt with. I'm sure every one of you have people in your lives that you're thinking about. And you're saying, look, so what happens? Do they get away with this? I don't know. That's not what's important. But what happens if they go do this to someone else? Well, we have to pray that that doesn't happen, but that's not what's most important. What's most important is, what is it doing to you? That's what matters the most. Forgiveness also has to be more than just saying the words. You know, there are many times when I think I, in my own life, have said to somebody, yeah, I forgive you. I didn't really forgive them. And there was nobody that knew that except me. Except all of those things that continue to eat away at me continued because I had not forgiven them. Forgiveness is a conscious decision that we need to make to embrace. Now, let me tell you how to do this, because this is what's most important. Hopefully what you've understood here this morning is that holding on to unforgiveness does not do anything except damage you and hurt you. You're not hurting anybody else. And God wants you to be free of that. The first way you do that is to humble yourself. Boy, what a surprise, huh? You ever heard me talk about humbling yourself in this church? Yeah, only every Sunday, Pastor Dave. But we need to humble ourselves. That's where it begins. Because if I don't humble myself, then what I am saying is that I am more valuable than anything that God has done because I want to feel this way. When I humble myself before him, then I am postured to be able to make the changes in my life that need to happen. James 4:10 says that you humble yourself before the Lord and then he will do what? He'll lift you up. James also goes on to say that he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Why would we not want to be in that place before God? That's the place where we are in a position to be able to say, okay, God, whatever you want to do in me, come on, I'm ready. Second thing, after you humble yourself, is you need to confess your sin and repent. Unforgiveness is sin. It's sin, plain and simple. Just like any other sin, I need to say, Father, please forgive me. But the Word tells us that if we confess our sins to Him, what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. He's faithful to do that. That's the third thing, is to believe the promises. Believe the promises that when you confess, when you give these things over to Him, He'll take them. You don't have to deal with them ever again. You say, Pastor Dave, I kind of like the idea that I'm holding this against this guy. But to what value? What is it doing for you? It's affecting your body. It's affecting your mind. You're walking in disobedience. What's more important to you? My prayer is that the most important thing to you is to be walking in right fellowship with God. You can't do that unless you release the unforgiveness. The last one then is that your attitude, that your life needs to reflect the change. Here's what I mean. Dave makes me upset. I'm so glad you sit up here in the front so I can use you for all of this stuff here. Dave's upset me, and I'm holding on to this. If I truly ask God to remove this, if I truly offer forgiveness to Dave, the next time I see him, how am I going to react? My reaction to him has got to reflect what it is that God's done in my life. Because I can say I've forgiven him and I still don't want to have anything to do with him. Well, how is that forgiveness? Now, I'm not suggesting that when you offer forgiveness that you just blanketly trust somebody that's hurt you. Trust needs to be earned. But I'm not going to hold something against him and not allow God to work in our lives together. That's what unforgiveness does. Is I say, God, whatever it is you want to do in me, through him or with him, I'm good for that. Yeah, I know he hurt me before, but that's done. I've given that over to God. It's forgiven. I have forgiven him because of who Jesus is in me. Now this morning, I really honestly believe that there are a number of you here this morning that need to let go of some things in your life. That God has called you here this morning to have these chains removed. Just some last thoughts. Unforgiveness has to be given freely and willingly, as I said. This is something that you have to want to do from your heart, to recognize the importance of it. It is an act of biblical obedience. You are obeying the Bible, the Word of God. You're obeying what it is that Jesus said to do. It takes walking out. You've got to actually do something to make this happen. Now, for some of you, you may need to consider making a phone call. You may need to consider sitting down with somebody and say, look, and I'll tell you, I'll just kind of share this with you, because we're family, I can say this, right? This won't go anywhere else. That's not that big a deal. I trust you, see. I served on the staff of a church, and when I had left that church, I carried some things in my heart against a couple of people on the staff there that just ate at me. And I finally got to the point where I was asking God to show me how to forgive them, and I very clearly knew that he spoke to my spirit and said, you got to go sit down in front of them, and you got to confess the way that you feel. You got to tell them how you feel. Was that something I wanted to do? No, I did not. I was not looking forward to that. But I made appointments with both of them, went down, sat down in their office, and I said, look, I got to tell you, I've had this in my spirit against you. You didn't do anything. I was not there to ask them to ask them so that I could get forgiveness about them, about what they had done. I was there to ask their forgiveness for me. But I said, listen, you've done, you know, whatever it was, I'm sorry. I need to confess this to you. You know what both of them said? I had no idea. I had no idea you felt that way. I didn't even know. So the whole time that I was upset with them, what was it happening to them? Absolutely nothing. But it was eating me up inside. I had to take that conscious step, though, to walk in there and to say, I'm sorry. For some of you, that may be something you need to do. You maybe need to make a phone call to a family member, a coworker, somebody that it's just seated in you and you've got to let go of it. Now, some of you may have that issue with somebody that's no longer here. You can still release it. You release it to the Father. And then the final thought is that when you do this, let me assure you of something. It will set you free. You will be set free. Not maybe, it will set you free. Because God has promised that when we do that, when we humble ourselves before Him, when we confess and repent of what it is that we have done, that His promises are true, and then it will set us free. Can I encourage you with that this morning? That if you are willing to do that here today, you will leave here a changed person. Changed. And you will begin to see changes in you. Things that maybe used to grind and eat at you, they're not going to do that anymore. Thoughts that used to come into your mind, those thoughts aren't going to come. Now, Satan's going to do everything he can to try and do that. But it won't be anything that's going to work because you've released that to the Father. Amen? Let me ask you to do something. Close your eyes and bow your head for me just for a moment. We're going to pray, and then we're going to be done. But I want to ask you this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to what's been said this morning. Because again, my prayer has been that God has been speaking to your heart this morning. Maybe you've had some faces come up in your mind. Maybe there's an event that took place a while back and it's been happening. And it doesn't matter how long ago because time has nothing to do with any of this. But you're going, okay, I need to do this. I need to do it. I want to ask you this morning to make a physical response to this. And by this, all you're really doing is going, okay, I'm serious. I need to make this happen. In a moment, I'm going to ask, if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to stand right where you are, and then I'm going to have you pray a prayer with me because I want to see you changed. I want to see God make a difference in your life, but it begins with your willingness to humble yourself before Him. That's where it starts. And sometimes even just that act of standing is going, okay, I'm ready to let this thing go. I'm ready to make a change. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You may be somebody that has a phenomenal walk with the Lord, but there's this thing that you need to deal with in your life, and you need to get rid of it. So this morning, if that is you, and no one's looking around, I just want to ask you to stand right where you are. And by standing, you're going, okay, I'm ready to let this thing go. I'm ready to lay this before the Father, and I don't want to have to deal with this anymore. I'm done with it. God, I am going to lay this at the foot of the cross, and I am going to walk away, and I never have to deal with that in the same way again. Just ask you to stand right where you are. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to grab you. But I don't want you to leave this place without saying, God, I've got something here I want to give you. Thank you, Father. Now, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to repeat it out loud. I'm going to say a portion of it, and then I want you to pray it out loud. I want you to declare this with your mouth this morning. You've heard me say so many times the power of words, that when you declare something, that there's authority in those words. So I'm going to pray it, and then I want you to pray it. Heavenly Father, today I want to be free. Pray that out loud. From the bondage of unforgiveness. I confess my sin and my part in this to you. And I ask for your forgiveness. And now through the power of the Holy Spirit and by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I forgive and release, and now you put the name in. Yeah, amen. And just sit on that for a second and let the Father speak to you about what it is you're doing, that you are releasing that person, releasing that event to Him. Let's continue. I lay down every hurtful thought, every painful memory, every thought of vengeance at the foot of the cross, and I will never pick it up or bring it into my life again. I ask you to guard my heart and my mind, protecting me from the lies of the enemy. I pray blessing, not cursing over them. I pray abundant life for them. I pray your grace and mercy over their lives. and I am leaving this place today free from the bondage of unforgiveness, ready to be used of you as a clean vessel to your glory and honor. Thank you for setting me free. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. Everybody stand with me if you would. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Now, if you prayed that prayer this morning, and maybe you sat and prayed it, that's okay too. But what I want you to do this week, because here's the good news. It's not really that good, but I'm telling you, it's what's going to happen. I guarantee you, whatever name you said, if they're around, you're going to see them. They're going to walk right up to you. They're going to walk past. You're going to hear a song. Something's going to happen. You're going to get taken back there so fast. You have the authority right now, because of the words you spoke, that you have left that at the cross. And when that comes, you say, I already spoke blessing over them. I spoke life and health over them. That's why we prayed that. Because even when you don't speak cursing over somebody, you need to speak blessing. Speak blessing over them, because that demonstrates the true nature of the heart. Amen. Well, God bless you folks. Thank you so much for being here.